Shoot. Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host this evening for the next hour and the live broadcast. We welcome you, and we also want to dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian and related peoples of the world. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. Today is the 9th of November, year 2008, Sunday afternoon, and today's program is a special broadcast. In short order, we hope to have Greg Evenson on, a retired Kansas state trooper and writer of very many good articles at the website newswithviews.com. I've been very, very pleased with that website, especially in the last 6 months, as there has been a significant increase in the numbers of people that have worn uniforms, active duty uniforms, whether it be law enforcement, customs, border patrol, military, whatever. Many of our retirees are coming out and speaking out about many of the things that are going on in the world today. So that's been a long time in coming, but I'm very glad that it has started. So we have a caller on the line. Caller?
Hello, Pastor.
Oh, is this Greg?
It sure is.
Oh, okay. You threw me off with the UP thing there.
Well, I live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so I'm not sure what may have shown up on your end, but we do have an extension of my wife's business, so that probably really threw you off.
Very good. Well,
good to be with you today.
I'm down in the lower peninsula, so that's kind of interesting. I didn't know you were up in the UP.
Yeah, sure enough.
Very good. Excellent. So we're from the same region.
You bet.
But anyway, as I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Evenson. I hope I pronounced that right.
That is exactly right.
Okay, very good. And I'll tell you what, Greg, what I used to do in the last 9 years with somebody who was new to the program, I like to turn the mic over for a minute or two so you can kind of introduce yourself to the listening audience, and so that way they know where you're coming from.
Well, thanks for so much for the opportunity, and it's good to be with all of your listeners today. Just a very brief thumbnail sketch. I spent many years in law enforcement after graduation from college out in Kansas, and I was fortunate enough to be to go through the application process and then was appointed a special agent with the United States Secret Service. However, before I was able to actually hit the ground running, it was the only year, 1974, the only year up until that point that the Secret Service had ever experienced a budget cut, and myself and several others were let go before we hardly got started. So it was very disappointing, but God had a good place for me. I went on as a trooper assigned at various times to Governor's Security. And then I was a road trooper as well in Kansas, mostly in the Olathe or suburb of Kansas City area, where I actually graduated from high school, from Olathe High School, 1968. And from there, I spent some time as a Kansas Marshal and private side as a security consultant and expert, so to speak. And I have spent the last 15 years finishing out my working career as a public school teacher of all places, but I've enjoyed it very much. I've been able to make a difference. I've taught social studies and sociology, and they've gotten the real true story about our nation and its Christian foundings, and I've just asked God for protection while I did it, and it didn't seem to raise any feathers, and so we've done our best, and here we are today trying to help again with my efforts in radio and in print.
Well, excellent. Speaking of in print, your article, part of the title that I remember was "Are You My Enemy?"
Yes.
Has that generated a lot of email?
Oh, boy. You know, Pastor, it's kind of a strange thing here. I wrote that knowing that we were at that time. I think the article came out on October 31st. With the election still 3-4 days off, and I titled it "The Civil War for Historic America," That is our founding America. And are you my enemy? And I simply put in there that I wasn't trying to pick a fight necessarily, but what I was doing was laying down the gauntlet and said, I'm no longer going to engage with on just a somewhat friendly basis, if you will, people that that are pushing abortion at every turn, people that are pushing homosexual marriage at us every single day. People that are fighting the true moral upstanding Christian values that we have espoused for many years. I certainly have. My wife has. Our friends have. And I thought that we are seeing the approach of a cultural or social civil war, if not a literal one, and we may see a literal one. But the fact is, I said, I'm calling you people out. I'm tired of dealing with liberals and elitists and bankers that have ruined us, and on the list goes. And I said, if you believe in these things and if you have promoted these things, then you may well be my enemy. It's no longer just a matter of we're talking about this and, oh, well, at the end of the day, somebody wins the debate. It's far beyond that, Pastor. My nation died in its sleep. Lady Liberty passed away last Tuesday. She'd been ill for a long, long time. But now the America that you and I have known and have tried to support, full of its flaws and full of its sin, but still my country nonetheless, is gone.
I agree with that 100%. I had a very good friend of mine who's a good Christian man in Mobile, Alabama. He and I have been friends for quite some time. His family is very much involved in politics and in law enforcement in that whole region down there. But he asked me one time, at that time anyway, he was a member of the Baptist Church. And he asked me one time, is it time for the gloves to come off as far as Christendom in America? And I would have to say it's way past time for the gloves to come off. And for people that don't understand what that means, it means time to get rough. You know, boxers put them big puffy gloves on so they don't hurt the other guy too bad. So taking the gloves off means that you're going to get rough and nasty and you're going to inflict injury upon your opponent. Do you agree that it's time for the gloves to come off?
I do. And I'm not one to equivocate on this kind of thing or mince a lot of words. I will tell you that I am still in the evaluation process, and I don't mean to make that sound academic, but I'm still looking at what our response needs to be here. Clearly, if you just say, that's it, I'm done with this government, I don't support it anymore, and I'm going to go, I'm going to get, I'm going to battle, so to speak, with my government, well, then you're inviting the wrath of this woeful government on your head. And none of us are in a position, frankly, to do that. And that doesn't make sense to me to be that foolish. But it does make sense to me that we draw the line clearly and hopefully, Pastor, through peaceful efforts. And by that I mean working again the next election cycle to get people in there that will make a change and work for that change peacefully. If that is possible, if that's God's way, then I am 1,000% for that. But I think we must be aware that there is going to appear on the horizon forces that will no longer tolerate my intolerance of abortion and homosexuality and same-sex marriage and a cast of things. Those are my top three that I detest in the name of the Lord. I detest those things. And so when that push comes, what is my response going to be? Am I just going to pull in and get up here on my 20 acres in the middle of the UP woods and say, that's it? Or am I going to go at it head on? And I think I'm much more to the type that I'm going to go at it head on. Again, I don't want to get physical, literally, but I do want to get right in somebody's face, and if that's a bunch of faces, that's just fine, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to step back from this situation, from this sin, from your destruction of our formerly well-fought for and well-established nation, and do the right things. I'm going to go to that line before I go anywhere else, but I'm going to tell you, Pastor, Christians especially who have, and I'm just going to have to say this the way I feel, brother, the Christian church as a whole has failed us miserably. They've not been speaking out in the pulpits. They've not been taking people to their knees in education and in admonition. And as a result, we have Rick Warren-type churches, and we have Joel Osteen-type churches that are feel-good churches. You walk in, you think it's the best thing since baked bread, and what have you accomplished at the end of the day? I really question that, and I question other frontline preachers who've dropped their mantle. They should step away from the sacred desk and reevaluate where they're going with this. God's people in droves voted for Barack Obama and the Democrats this time, and I believe it was a horrible mistake that they cannot justify before God himself.
I certainly couldn't argue with that. The modern-day church, we use the term churchianity. I also refer to these preachers as Baal priests today because they're just supporting the status quo.
Yeah.
The Christian church today has been effectively dehorned in the sense that it has no power, it doesn't stand for anything. It's pretty much a social club, the ones I've been in, and I've attended most of every Protestant church there is at some point. I belong to many of them. I've been to many Lutheran and Catholic services, and I'm here to tell you, with the knowledge I've gained on my own studies, the amount of truth that's preached in these modern-day churches would fill a thimble, and that's about it.
And my concern is that these same churches are more concerned, as the old phrase goes, with butts and bucks. They don't want to offend anybody. God forbid that they should preach against sin or preach against pornography or preach against adultery or any of the other sins that we know of and many of us are guilty of, and we need to be brought back to that every single Sunday and challenged to make sure that our lives are worthy to even come into the presence of the one who sacrificed for us. And so it is absolutely over the edge, and I can see where some are saying this could well be God's judgment on this nation to have, you know, we've been given over to our reprobate minds, and this is the result. We have a reprobate series of people who are now occupying the most sacred offices, sacred in terms of our history, offices in that are available in our land as senators and congressmen and president and vice president and so forth. And how have we come to this point? Well, we've come to this point because we've let it happen. We've not stood our ground, and now as a result, we have 100 times the work ahead of us to clean this up, if it is, if we can do it, before actually the end of time. And we may be very close to that at this moment with other events that are developing. But our only hope, our only upward look at this point is toward the Lord, and the rest of it we'll try and do the best we can as God-fearing people and good patriot citizens. But Pastor, I just tell you that the time has come for us to grab this and do something with it.
Well, I would agree with that. We got a lot of new listeners that missed the very beginning of the program, so let me reintroduce you, so to speak. Today our guest is Greg Evenson, now residing in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but he was formerly a Kansas State Trooper, short term in Secret Service, spent time as a marshal and also as a public teacher for 15 years, and is our guest today because of numerous articles Greg has written at newswithviews.com, which I highly recommend. There are some phenomenal writers there. Also, Greg has never been on this program before, and so some of the listeners may be not used to some of the terms that you use, Greg, because we teach, in this forum, we teach the scriptures as they were written in the Greek and Hebrew, because we believe so much of the problem today can be directly tied in with the false interpretations contained in many English Bibles, the King James being the worst, of course. That's why the founding fathers, when they came here as Puritans and other pilgrims, they came here with the Geneva Bible, because the Geneva Bible, with its famous notes, clarified many of the passages that today are in obscurity due to the poor translation in the King James Version. So we refer to our Messiah as Yeshua HaMashiach, which is the ancient Hebrew word for him. We know in the Greek it was Jesus, Christos. So different things like that. So occasionally some of our listeners will want clarification for that sort
of
thing.
Sure. Well, I understand, and forgive me, Pastor, for not being quite up to speed with some of those issues. But I, in the words of the old hymn, I know whom I have believed, it is the one and only Lord of the universe, and that is Yahweh God, and I and His Son Jesus. So it is a matter for me that in all the issues I've been involved with, and the crossfire I've been involved in, and the very desperate situations that I've had to handle over the years in law enforcement and so forth, have brought me to a point that however we may speak of it, the result is the same, and that is that people who believe and have their faith and trusted in God will spend their eternity with Him, and I am so grateful for that, because really that's our only hope today, brother.
Oh, I agree. Greg, one of the listeners has asked me to give you his email address that he wants to get in touch with you.
Sure.
If you've got a pencil or something handy.
Yeah, hang on just a second. I'm grabbing it here. I had some other things in front of me. All right, go ahead.
It's County Notary, that's all together, at gmail.com.
G as in George?
G as in George, that's
gmail.com.
Correct.
Okay.
And,
well,
I have no idea what it's about, but he wants to get in touch with you. As I'm sure as more people listen to this live program and the archive program, I would think more people even would want to get in touch with you. And the reason, folks, Greg, I appreciate the fact that you're apologizing, but that's not necessary. You use the Father's name, by the way, Yahweh, which I'm impressed. Most people today don't even know that. The main reason that I wanted you to come on here is because I'm excited, again, not only because of the written articles, but men such as yourself who are speaking out, because I've been trying to alert my fellow American for over 25 years. And a lot of that time, my family thought I was off my rocker. I've had many people call me everything from a communist to a traitor and everything else, simply because I tried to do like the prophets of old, the watchmen on the wall. I could see certain indicators that we were violating and where I thought it was taking us, and I was trying to give a warning, and I was ostracized for that so many times. So it's really, really exciting for me to have men of your caliber, and I consider you an extremely high caliber person, to be speaking out and saying the things that I've tried to get other people to pay attention to for so long.
Well, you know, Pastor, I think that God does place people, and I appreciate your compliments. But I tell you, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So I'm just trying to do what God would have me do. But I will tell you this: God does place people along our paths that He says, not only do I want you to have that kind of fellowship, but I want you to have that kind of support. And because of that, we're where we are today, many of us, and I will say that there is a significant, I won't say it's even a majority yet, but I believe it is a significant number of men and women in police uniform at whatever level, local, county, state, and federal, that are saying, whoa, this is not right. I'm not going to be given unconstitutional so-called rules or laws to follow and go after my fellow citizens because they're speaking out just because it's not politically correct. And I take comfort in that. I also am very sobered by the fact that there are a number yet that will, and I've told them very plainly, the Nuremberg defense will not help you here. I was only following orders, will not help you. And in the end, you will answer to someone, whether it's a citizens' tribunal, a grand jury, or whatever it might be. And so be very, very careful that what you do and what you say is exactly correct. And the only way you can know that is look inward and say, am I following the Constitution of this nation and the Articles of Confederation, which are still in effect? Am I following those precepts, the moral imperatives that came with the development of those two priceless documents And granted, they're not Christian documents in and of themselves, but they were based on many, many Christian precepts that we've just simply stepped aside and said, we don't need that anymore. And of course, the truth is that we need it now more than we ever have. So the fact that we have good people all across the country, I write with many wonderful people that are good friends of mine at News with Views and show hosts at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, where I have my show. And by the way, I do want to give my my website here. There's a number of things that you can retrieve from that website. We'll help you with homeschooling at the PowerPad. We have one marvelous instrument there for you to download, free download. Use it as you wish. And then there's also some other things that I wanted to mention that I've got some CDs there, but that I'm not trying to make this commercial. It's just a matter of you go explore it, see what you'd like. But the address for that website is www, of course, at the Heartland USA.com, and Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. The Heartland USA, USA standing for United for a Sovereign America. The Heartland USA.com, and that way, also if you want to write to me, you can do it at Greg at the Heartland USA.com. So their pastor is a way that many folks, rather than maybe call in and try and do it this way, they can just send me a one-liner and I'll answer them.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay, again, the website is the Heartland USA. I like that, United for a Sovereign America, by the way.
Yeah, my wife came up with that. She came up with that, and I tell you, it was instantaneous. I said, that was of the Lord there. USA.com.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, the listeners of this program for the past 9 years know that I and many of the guests that come on are basic historians and researchers. We study historical documents. Particularly, I love the work of the biblical archaeologists. We study the Constitution,
sure,
the Fathers. So a lot of what we're doing in this program, and we have for 9 years, is try to tie in what's happening in the world of current events to Scripture and what the Father's trying to tell us. And you mentioned these abominations that are happening right now, and it's funny how Obama's name fits very well into the term abomination.
Yes. Unbelievable.
I have done this in my own life. Everywhere I've ever run into trouble and I've had to go through hard times, I can find a verse in Scripture I violated. And we apply that same rule to our nation in North America, which we consider the new Zion, because the true Israelites of old are here right now in the form of the Caucasian people, and we've proven that over the last 9 years so many times it'd make your head spin. But we try to tie this all together so that where we went wrong, where did we violate our Father's commandments to cause the present situation? And when it comes to this electoral process and the people in charge, we can go to the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we can find where Yahweh's people were not supposed to put those not of their kind, meaning their faith and their background, not supposed to put them in political power. And it's common sense why that would not be so. It'd be like me going to China and asking to be part of their government body. It would be ridiculous.
Yes.
First of all, I'm not Chinese. Second of all, I do not believe in their form of government.
That's right.
Only in America, Greg, can I find that we as Americans have been so silly that we have turned against not only the Scriptures, but what the Founding Fathers intended when they wrote the Constitution. They said, this nation is formed for us and our posterity. Posterity
right.
is children.
Yes, that's right.
And we, you and I, are the children of the Founding Fathers. We have many people in government today, and now we even have one in the high office of president who does not qualify as part of the lineage of the Founding Fathers. Now, a lot of people will take offense to that, but that's because of the brainwashing that we've been under ever since the advent of television, trying to make us forget our past and the things that are important. But would you concede that if we obeyed the Deuteronomy and Leviticus mandates that we do not let aliens come into our land and become part of the political process, if we had listened to that, this would be an entirely different America.
Not only would I concede it, Pastor, but I would support it without any exception. That is absolute truth, and as a result, we have had an absolute falling away from again the precepts, the principles, the guiding information, if you will, that has made this nation, or did up until a certain point in the 1800s, made this nation the greatest government on earth, based on the founding, again, the founding precepts, and the Declaration of Independence being the moral document by which we said enough is enough, and we're going to seek the establishment of our own nation based on these biblical principles and precepts. They can split it up any way they want, and they can call certain people deists and all that. And you know, even if there were some, the principles, the founding principles, were Christian principles, and it just simply cannot be conveniently or in a politically correct sense just excused and washed away. This nation was founded as a Christian nation with Christian precepts, and only when we began to accept the watering down of our governing institutions and levels, whether it was the courts or the legislative or eventually the executive branch, the result was the same, and that has been a falling away, a gross falling away from the Christian principles which have allowed us to justify to one another that it's okay to be a homosexual, it's okay to abort babies, it's okay to euthanize the old people and others. Those kinds of principles are so alien to this nation and its founders that there can be no bridge built to the original founding principles and those principles of today. And it's for that reason, very clearly, historically, it can be shown why this nation has come to destruction.
Absolutely. And let me just check and see if you may be familiar with this. Do you remember a gentleman in our past known as William Blackstone?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Blackstone's commentaries.
Exactly. Blackstone's commentaries used to be taught in all of our law schools, predominantly the big ones like Harvard and Yale, which, by the way, started out as seminaries, not law schools.
That's right. Divinity schools. Yeah.
But William Blackstone recently is no longer taught. His commentaries are no longer taught in most law schools. And William Blackstone is the man who said that any law created by any legislative body that is counter to God's law is no law at all. Are you familiar with that?
I certainly am. And John Jay, our first Supreme Court Chief Justice, applied it just slightly differently when he said that any law that is not constitutional is no law at all.
That's correct. Correct. It follows the same
absolutely the same pattern. He was just a little bit more secular in it, but the meaning was very closely to being the same to me.
Exactly, it is exactly the same. And yet, I've actually talked at one Eastern state when I was trying to help a friend through a bogus arrest that was done on him. I encountered some county police officers at the jail, and I started discussing with them their obligation to obey their oath of office, and I was literally laughed at by these people. I was quite offended. I was quite offended that not only did they not consider their oath of office seriously, they thought I was the outlier for even bringing it up. And
well,
that was part of my epiphany. That woke me up to the sorry state that we are in this country and lit the fire under me to eventually get on the radio and do what I've been doing for nearly 10 years now.
Well, I'm grateful that you followed God's leading in your life, but I will tell you, unfortunately, that is probably still a majority opinion, not only within law enforcement, but within the seat of government as well. I've taken an oath on several occasions, once in the military, once at every level of police work that I was in. And I will tell you, Pastor, to the best of my knowledge, and God forgive me if I've forgotten something here, but I don't believe in the entire tenure of time that I've ever been under an oath have I violated that oath. I every day I pinned the badge on my shirt or whatever it happened to be, I remembered very solemnly that I was in a unique position, that people had given me trust that no one else has in our nation, to execute laws fairly, judiciously, honestly, not take anything for it other than that which I was paid for to do, and to represent the power of the state in a way that was so clear and so just and so right that it could have come from heaven itself. But obviously that was not the case. But I never wanted anyone to ever say, you are corrupt, or you are doing the wrong thing, or there was not justice here. Many times when I would give a warning to someone, especially you know, some poor person didn't know what he'd done, and you know, it's in the middle of the night, the day before Christmas, and you know, I mean, it wasn't always in those kinds of settings, but I thought, you know, here's a time where mercy is due, and it wasn't so terrible. I had to do something, but you know what? That kind of common sense, if you will, is grossly lacking at all levels, and I've been speaking over the last several months with hundreds of police officers at various levels, and my talk is always the same. Do not forget who you are, what you are, why you are, and how you got to be where you are. If you do, your oath will mean nothing. And I'm sorry I rattled on about that, but that's so critically important today that we must, fellas in my position and Jack McLam and others across the nation, we're trying to get this back.
Oh, I agree with you. You're right. And I think part of the problem is that the leadership within the law enforcement today is not pressing upon the younger people that old school, so to speak, mentality.
No.
I believe they're purposely not training the younger people the way they used to be in the old days.
It's not only that, Pastor. It's a matter of semantics. They're law enforcement officers now, LEOs, instead of peace officers. I was a peace officer. I was sworn as a peace officer. I was a member of the Kansas Peace Officers Association. And in that, I remember Ed Hoteby, the Illinois State Police Trooper in my little hometown of Shabana, Illinois, who used to pull up the end of the block when the kids, we'd all be out playing baseball or whatever it was. This was in the mid-1950s, and, you know, we go running up to his car, and just, how are you? And we thought the world of him, and he was the one that was always there and would be at the funeral services when someone was killed in our town or whatever. I mean, he was just an outstanding representative of what we believed law enforcement should be, and you don't find that anymore. What you have now are the politically correct guys that have clawed up through the heap, saying, I'll do anything as long as you make me a chief of police, a state police upper echelon director, or whatever it happens to be in the state in which you live. And for that, Pastor, we have gotten the absolute worst. I call them the prostitutes because they were willing to sell themselves at any cost to get ahead.
Greg, are you looking at my notes?
No, sir.
That's exactly what I had on my notes next to talk to you about, is when we went from peace officers to law enforcement officers, mostly in the media and in public conversation, but the media led the way, and I believe it was back in the 80s, because I made note of it to all my friends.
Yes.
When they first started using the term law enforcement officer, because up till then they had always been either police officers or peace officers.
Yes, yes.
And there is a huge paradigm shift when you go from the mentality of a maintaining the peace officer versus a law enforcement officer.
Well, it's an us or them mentality, Pastor, that has been handed down from the military and the violation of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. Keeping the military out of local law enforcement issues, and that was a brilliant move at that time. It safeguarded for 120 years or more our sacrosanct, if you will, relationship between the military, the local police, and the citizens, and that had to be it, and it should have been maintained, because now it's a, if you will, mission essential. It's a military term. And these folks that are being trained by the military and have the haircuts, the buzz cuts of the military, and they wear the airborne jump boot appearance of the military, and they are dressed in black, and they have submachine guns and coal bucket helmets. I said, if I didn't know any better, I was in Warsaw in 1943, and it looked like the SS was on each corner. It has become almost that bad. And this law enforcement mentality, the taser thugs, as I mentioned. Now, look, I'm not including all law enforcement in this, but there are those who are in it, especially the young ones and their military veterans coming back. That and I'm very supportive of military. Many of my listeners are military at RBN, but I have to tell you that they're shifting away, they're slipping away from the historic bounds of that peace mentality, that I'm there to help, I'm going to do what I can to keep the peace, rather than enforce a lawful, stressful situation that says there is no in-between ground here. It's us against them. Them against us, and boy, I'll tell you what, we are paying a price in the relationships in our communities, and that which is to come under martial law, when martial law comes, not if, when it comes, you will have those people out there in the forefront who will be brutal, who will have absolutely no sympathy, and I'm just praying to God Almighty that He will bring up those other folks who will stand as a vanguard between us and the end.
Well, I agree. I and many of my friends and associates have run into the situation where a person in uniform would get irate if you challenged them in any way, shape, or form as to what they were doing. And I have had on several occasions a peace officer point to his badge on his chest and say, "You have to do everything I tell you. I'm in charge."
Pastor, can I give a... This is Gary in San Diego. I'm sorry. Can I give an incident that happened in my family where they came in and I thought they were going to help as peace officers, and they came in and have almost destroyed our family?
Yeah, just a few minutes. Go ahead.
Back in August, my wife has a problem. She's got a mental problem. It's called bipolar. She was having a problem. So we are told by the doctor under these conditions, they can get violent. They can do all kinds of things. Like an epileptic, if he jumps around on the floor and you try to mess with him, he's going to throw you off the wall. So the son comes out and says, "Shall I call 911? I said, "Certainly." So they called 911. He explained to him what was going on, how the wife was having her problems and she hasn't been taking her meds and everything. And as a matter of fact, we got the tape on it and they cut off part of it. But anyway, they sent out the domestic task force. And I said, "What do you guys do? My wife, she needs help. You need an ambulance. Get her to the hospital." You know, explained the plan, showed her the pills, showed them all the stuff. Okay, now like the officer just stated just a minute ago, that they come out and they try everything they can to make peace in the situation. Here, peace would have been to get her to a hospital because she needed medical assistance. Instead, they arrest her and take her to jail. She spent 13 in jails with no days in jail with no medication, and by the time they got to her, she was almost gone. And this is what they did here, and it has cost me right now $3,000 to get an attorney, and I'm supposedly the victim. And I says, "No, I'm not. The government is bringing the charges, not me, against my wife." And we called him out here for a medical reason. She needed to be taken to the hospital and surrounded with nurses that know what they're doing versus taking her to jail, being surrounded with jail guards, not knowing a darn thing what they're doing and slamming her off the walls. She was a complete black and blue case when they finally got her to the hospital. So
okay.
I thought I would share that.
Oh, that's a travesty, and that's where this great shift has come. Look, you must understand, and you will be able to take, I hope, some comfort in the fact that your situation is still in the minority of situations. It's unfortunate. It's tragic that it's happened to you and the aftermath of what you're having to go through. But you must understand that it's becoming more and more in this way because, and you'll understand now intellectually why it is. If you will understand, I'm not saying accept, but you must understand that there is a principle at work here that's called control. And this is a matter of people control. It's a matter of instituting the ultimate power over people. That's why we have such huge efforts with gun control. It's not about people basically being crazy with guns. There's very little gun violence by law-abiding people in this nation. There's quite a bit by criminals, but to be in a defensive position, be able to help ourselves and our families and keep ourselves secure, firearms are very necessary and very understandable and justifiable. But they're trying to outlaw them completely because it is about people control. When you can no longer have electricity or food because you will submit or you will have the choice of submitting, and it's your choice. And, of course, I never would because that will be the mark of the end times. It will be the mark of the beast. But it's all about control, and they're issuing that over you. You are no longer a sovereign citizen. You are no longer a free citizen. The United States of America that we have grown to love is gone.
Well,
it's gone.
What you're saying, officer, then, is it should have been me that should have been the one to bring charges if there was any to bring.
That's correct.
They're saying because she scratched me. In other words, when I pushed her back,
she reached out
to grab me, and
sure.
I pushed her back, and she scratched me.
Sure.
And fled because I'd taken 5 aspirins before because I have arthritis.
Now, look, it makes no difference now. But in my day, when I was active as a police officer, I would have looked at you, I'd have looked at her, I would have looked at the pill bottle, and I said, it looks very much, even on the surface, I have to be suspicious coming in. But that doesn't mean I have to be stupid along with being suspicious. So I say, this looks like a medical issue. Let's get her taken care of first. Then we'll sort out the rest of this if there is anything left to be sorted through.
Well,
that obviously didn't happen.
Yeah, I showed them her medications. I mean, I was the one that was explaining all this and how
sure.
she needed medical help. I'm her husband.
Sure.
And I showed the medication. I showed her doctor, showed her
sure.
past history, all this to them.
Let me ask you, what's the future for you very briefly? I mean, is there a court date set, or is the prosecutor, state's attorney still looking, or what?
We have an attorney. There's a court date set for the 19th of this month, and of course, my wife is going to jail on three counts, you know, and one of them is a battery, the other one is domestic battery, and all of them have in them with the intent. You know, and they know that she was sick and she didn't do this intentionally.
Well, then,
sick.
Then all I can tell you is at this point, if the prosecuting attorney for whatever county you live in is not in a position or has not yet rendered a judgment as to whether these charges have any basis, and you do have to go in front of a judge and possibly a jury, make sure you have a jury, and just explain these things if you explain them here, and the evidence that you have that you will be able to put out there should be sufficient. I'm sorry you're going to have to go this route, but on occasion it does happen. Is it a travesty? Yes. Should it have happened? No, it shouldn't have. But you're there. Have to leave your faith with the good Lord and your attorney, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we got another caller. County Notary has called in. Go ahead, County.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
First-time listener to your program. I don't know what your format is. I don't mean to invade you.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. I was just interested in some of the terminology you're using, and that Greg is former law enforcement. I have 2 volumes here in my legal collection that contain all of the constitutions of the 50 states. And in every one except New York, there's a provision in those constitutions, in the sections that are labeled as the Bill or Declaration of Rights. And it states almost uniformly exactly what the Pennsylvania section says in the Declaration of Rights Constitution of Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Section 23 says, in all instances, the military shall be in strict subordination to the civil authority. Every one of them say civil authority or civil power. When Gregory was in law enforcement, he was deceived into believing that he was the civil authority. However, the flag that he's flying on his shoulder is not a civil flag. That flag is reportedly created by Betsy Ross, on the order of and for George Washington, General George Washington. He was not yet the president for years into the future. That flag was a battle flag, a military banner, a military standard. When it was created, it can never be changed, and it still is. It always represents the military. It has an obverse representation of the peace flag that the Congress ordered to be created, which is the red and white stripes running horizontally, or rather vertically, rather than horizontally. The field is blue, and the stars are white in the background, and that's the U.S. peace flag. And that's flown by the United States Coast Guard. It's flown by itself on their boats that do not have a deck gun. The ones that have a deck gun, it's usually flown in a position of lower authority, and in as the military U.S. military banner is flown higher on the mast than the peace flag. And it's also found and has always been used by the Customs Service at ports of the United States. And the reason for that is that Lloyd's of London or any other insurer will not insure cargo that's being shipped into a port that's under military or possible war control at the time.
Okay.
Caller, your reference to the flag is you know, certainly historical, and I believe, although I'm not an expert in what you're talking about, I believe you're basically correct. The especially the gold fringed flag, which you find in courtrooms, schools, and so forth, is a military flag. And so it suggests to the casual person walking into the courtroom or the school or even the church where those flags, because they're beautiful flags to the eye, there's much more symbolism attached to them, and those flags indicate that the room or the building or the concepts that are around the reason that flag is there is a military occupational or military situational flag. I can also tell you that I never wore an American flag of any kind on any of my uniforms. It was not found on my automobile or in my automobile. It was not on any of my law books or any of my official material. The only flag that was ever displayed was the state of Kansas flag, and that was on a couple of my books. But our state was very careful to differentiate between state authority, if you will, and that of the federal government. So we were not symbolically or otherwise promoting, if you will, that symbol.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that Kansas state troopers didn't wear the U.S. flag on their uniform.
We do not. We did not at all. And
look
most not all other agencies, sir. Some did wear the, you know, local departments and some county sheriffs, but I will tell you that the state troopers in Kansas did not wear any flag at all on their uniform.
The portraits you see of the Kansas governor, the various mayors of the cities, municipalities, and things like that, they're always taken with a picture with the U.S. flag in the background.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they're sending a subtle message there,
yes,
that
sir.
It is not a free and sovereign state, but that it is a state under the 14th Amendment that has been sucked into this vacuum of the corporate United States.
So my point is, if I am in fact correct that we the people of the United States that were drafted and promoted the United States Constitution, being the only United States in existence at that time and operating under that flag was the U.S. Army. And that is why the president is commander-in-chief, and his anthem whenever he appears somewhere, is always played. It's the hail to the chief. It's not hail to the president.
That's correct.
And he's elected as the president of the United States, but he never functions in that civil office. He's always functioning in his military capacity or role as commander-in-chief.
Well, it's fascinating. You brought some great stuff up. Thanks for calling. I hope that it's clear, at least as far as my experience and with my organization, is that we didn't violate, which I think was clearly a separation there, and we didn't step over that line.
Well, my point of all this is that the civil authority that the military is subordinate to, that's stated in those 49 of the 50 constitutions, it's not the civil authority that's being represented as functioning now.
Sure.
Okay. That's all. I'm going to send you an email. I would like to speak to you about your role as a U.S. Marshal.
It was not a U.S. Marshal. I was a Kansas Marshal.
Oh, a Kansas Marshal.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit different. It kind of goes back to the frontier days where I had an area assigned or an area that I was specifically involved with, but not under United States. No, it was Kansas, state of Kansas, Marshal.
It's similar to a constable?
You know, I'm not sure legislatively what a constable is, because I never held that office and I never dealt with anybody that was. A marshal, perhaps, although I think our area was not statewide, we had we could do anything statewide, but we were assigned an area. It might have been Dodge City or Goodland or Great Bend or something like that, but it was not like a U.S. Marshal, no.
Pennsylvania constables are elected to the voting ward.
Oh, no, that... And, completely different.
And yet they have statewide
we would have been able to go anywhere in the state armed and with arrest authority, but we were assigned a given jurisdiction or maybe a couple depending on the size and the amount of land we had to cover, but it was in law enforcement, not any other way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for
calling.
Daniel. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we're getting... We've got about 8 minutes or so. We're not really tied to an exact amount of time, but I try to keep it right around an hour.
I understand.
But before we leave today, I would like for you, you have a lot of friends and associates, as you've told us, and I know Bo Greitz is one of your friends. And I was wondering, not only Bo, but the other people that talk to you, you don't have to name names, but I was wondering... if you could give us a kind of encapsulation of what the majority of the people who are communicating with you, how do they see the next, let's say, 4 years, 4 to 6 years, what do they see in store for us? What do we need to be getting prepared for?
Well, I have to tell you, Pastor, that I've not spoken to, I don't think I've had a call since the elections. Yeah, everybody's kind of shell-shocked. But up to the time, they anticipated that, but it's still a little bit of shock. Most of my discussions have been over the last 4 to 6 months trying to bring people in line with, what we're faced with here. You know, this pitiful choice that we face between these top two. There were other candidates, but these top two. And so I've been trying to bring them to a point where they would see clearly, see through the fog, and get past the rhetoric. And so that's what I've really been concentrating on. And I can tell you, I've talked to police officers from New York State, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, state police, other agencies from around the nation, including state and local police and sheriff's offices. There is a great awakening. And I don't want to put too much emphasis on the awakening, although I think it can be classified as that. Among police officers who have had such a narrow approach, what call am I being sent on? What's the problem here? And rather than the broader expectations of the people, which is, look, we rely on you because if there is a bad situation that occurs, if there's a terrorist event, should there be some kind of massive blast or something else, we're going to be looking to you guys because what else have we got? And I understand that, but it should also be that people are independent enough and courageous enough and focused enough that they would be able to defend themselves, they would be able to dress their wounds, they would be able to get out of an area, seek help, and not just sit there as pitiful pearls waiting for the government to come and rescue them. That's not always going to happen, especially when there's a huge breakdown in law and order. We saw that in New Orleans, and you'll see it again and again. It will always be the same. There will never be a time when an event occurs where law and order breaks down that people will just not sit there shell-shocked and say, I'm just waiting to be rescued. Look, that's not the America that grew to be what it was before its downfall began. It was a nation based on courage and strength and belief in God and faith in God and faith in the ability of themselves and their immediate family and their friends to do that which was necessary, was right, and was absolutely immediate, and get it done. Now that's what we have to return to if we have any hope. But the days coming in front of us, they know, are going to be very difficult. They know that there's going to be issues that come along, like the police officers in lower Michigan, maybe perhaps not too far from where you were. Obama made an appearance, and he required them to stand behind the bus so the press would not see police uniforms. He was so disingenuous to the police officers there that one Michigan State police trooper wrote, I can't believe he treated us like that. And does that tell you what kind of man this is, at least in part? So they are becoming aware, Pastor, and that's I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to end it right there.
Oh, very good. Very, very good. In the closing minutes here, are you familiar with the passage of 2 Chronicles 7:14?
Where if my people will pray?
Exactly.
Yes, of course.
We talk about that as being the formula for success. It's a conditional verse. There's four conditions that he expects of his people: to humble themselves, to seek his face, to pray, and importantly here for the United States especially, to turn from their wicked, and wicked we defined as anything in violation of God's law, and we're talking about his entire law.
That's right.
If they must turn from their wicked ways, and then he will hear our prayers and heal our land. And I was just wondering.
And not until then, Pastor.
What's that?
Not until then.
Exactly. So we're trying to stress people to get ready on two fronts. One, get ready physically, because like General MacArthur and General Patton said, a good soldier prepares for war while he prays for peace.
Exactly.
And the scriptures tell us that a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. So physically we must get ready, but we also are obligated to pay attention to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we need to turn from all the things that we're involved in that go against our Father's wishes and laws. And we understand that a lot of our people are going to perish in what's coming down simply because they will not repent. They have no remorse whatsoever. But there is a remnant that the Father says he's going to save. We're trying to reach the remnant. Get on your knees, pray for the forgiveness, and turn away from the sins so that the Father will then help. And with his help on our side, there's no way we can fail.
Well, Pastor, the people perish for lack of knowledge, and the
exactly.
Knowledge is of godly things, and not of governmental things, but of spiritual things, and that's where you're going to see the greatest number of casualties, unfortunately, and that translates to eternity.
Exactly. I've got listeners writing in on the text board up here wanting to know if you would be a candidate for another program, and so at this point, I'll ask if at some time in the future if you would come back as a guest.
Oh, I'd be very humbled to do that and very glad to do it, and thanks to your folks who wrote in. I hope that God presented something today through this. I'm tremendously busy. I'm getting 1,000 emails a week and probably 150 calls a week, and it's very difficult to keep up with it, but I sure will put some time aside down the road to be back with you.
Well, we appreciate that, Greg. What I'll do is then just stay in touch with you, and at some point I'll just put it to you to let us know when you're available, and we'll work around your schedule.
Oh, well, that'll be fine, and maybe, you know, with holidays coming up, I'm not sure how quickly I can get back, but maybe we can squeeze it in December. If not, right at the first year, it'd be fine.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, Pastor, God bless you and all your good listeners, and don't lose hope, don't lose faith, don't quit. There is a way out, and we're just going to have to be true to God's word.
Absolutely. Yahweh bless you, and keep up the great work, Greg.
Thank you, Pastor. You as well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening in, ladies and gentlemen. This, again, was a special interview with Greg Evenson, who is a prolific writer on newswithviews.com. Has a history in law enforcement at various levels, particularly in the state of Kansas, 15 years a public teacher, and very much a patriot, very much, as this interview has proven, very much aware of what's going on in the world and also of where we have gone wrong in this country. That is very encouraging. And the fact that he is making attempts to straighten out our men and women in uniform, which they have been greatly deceived, and they need to be told the truth because they are in a precarious position because we do trust them. They carry weapons. They have the ability to come into our homes, and therefore there's inherent trust there, but there's also a great responsibility, and that responsibility is that they do the right thing. They do the right thing per the Constitution. They do the right thing morally, and if they have been misled and told the wrong thing, then there's an accounting going to be held, whether it's in the hereafter or the here and now, and they need to be told the truth about what their position in those offices is really, truly all about. So keep, Greg, in your prayers. Keep all our men and women in uniform in your prayers, that the truth permeates all of our society and especially our men and women in uniform. We'll be back with you Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on this channel. Yahweh willing, of course. Dan from Georgia will be my guest, and we will be discussing the basic tenets of Christian identity, the thing called in the media Christian identity. And like so many things today, it gets a bad rap because it speaks the truth. And the word identity comes from the fact that in this message, what we teach is to correctly identify the personages in the Holy Scripture, because if you don't know who your enemy is, folks, how do you prepare for that? How do you do war, make war, and defend yourself from an enemy that you cannot recognize? Our Messiah was very, very specific on who our enemies are, and when the Scriptures are properly translated, it's very, very clear who those enemies are. So the Basic Tenets of Christian Identity, Part 2, this Wednesday night at 8 p.m., And again, keep Greg and all of our men and women in your prayers. Keep our country in your prayers. Stay on your toes and keep your powder dry. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew.